Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you listening to tonight's first episode of Biggest Lil Pod with me, your girl Darcy. Whatever time you are listening to this, it is always going to be applicable to you, so don't even worry about that. But thank you so much again for being here with me this evening for the first edition of my new podcast. If anybody has previously been familiar with my old podcast, which was Playing the Field, thank you again for continuing to support me on this journey. That was a very, very fun time in my life, and I will definitely miss it, but I'm so excited to start this new podcasting journey with you all with Biggest Lil Pod. As you can guess, I'm sure, I did move, and I did move to Reno, Nevada, so that is where this podcast is streaming from. If I have any listeners from the area, please let me know. I'd love to hear from you. I will leave the link for to leave audio messages on my episode, so you'll be able to leave me voice messages if you want. And again, like I said, thank you so much for being here. Tonight, we're going to talk about self-awareness and ego deaths. So if those are topics that interest you, please stay tuned. And even if you don't know anything about it, I would love for you to stay tuned and learn a little bit about something that has been really pertinent and potent for me lately. So thank you again for listening and stay tuned. So I want to begin today's episode with talking about ego deaths. I wasn't sure if I wanted to talk about self-awareness first or ego deaths, but ego deaths is a really are a really interesting topic really to talk about, because I feel like a lot of not a lot of people are familiar with them or familiar with the definition of ego death or what an ego death is, or maybe have never even had one. So I wanted to go over that first. So, ego deaths are a complete loss, by definition, a complete loss of subjective self-identity. It could also be used in conjunction or synonymously with the term from Jungian psychology, which is a psychic death, which is by definition a fundamental transformation of the psyche. So ego deaths are really, they happen a lot during like a psychedelic experience, from what I've gathered and the information that I've gathered and through personal experience and through other experiences I've done research on. So, ego deaths, like I said, are a really interesting topic because not a lot of people are familiar with them or have had one before. I have had a couple. And let me tell you, they are so necessary and so helpful when they do come around. They don't happen every time, you know, you either, like if you microdose hallucinogens for medicinal reasons or recreational reasons, or if you recreationally use psychedelics, or even if you have spiritual ego deaths without the use of hallucinogens, which is also very possible. I would concur, and I'm sure you would as well, that these experiences, while albeit can be difficult, do go hand in hand with gaining a great amount of self-awareness. So that's kind of what I wanted to touch on about ego deaths a little bit before I move on to talking about microdosing a little bit, which I feel like is a huge topic today, especially in mainstream media, because it is becoming a way more popular way to consume hallucinogens and a very popular way to treat a lot of conditions and mental diagnoses especially. And it's a really interesting thing to consider that we may be able to, I don't like to use the word cure, but aid illnesses or aid diagnoses with the use of microdosing of hallucinogens. And I think that's really amazing. If I do leave the voice messages link on this, please leave me a voice message if you have an experience with either having an ego death or have experiences with microdosing, and if it's worked for you. Or if you would like to write me a message as well about your experiences with hallucinogens, I would love to hear and play them for my next episode and get back to you guys about my feelings about that. But I will continue to talk about my feelings about that today. Of course, you guys know me. If you have listened to my podcast before, I love to talk about my feelings about things on here. So we will definitely get into that today. But I did just want to touch on some of those subjects a little bit before we delve into it deeper, because I just wanted to kind of get everybody familiarized with the topics we will be discussing today. So a number of people believe that the concept of the ego death stemmed from Sigmund Freud's personality theory, which first came about in about 1923, I believe. I've been learning about it recently, actually. Another new thing I was going to mention to you all listening is that I am going back to school to get my master's right now in mental health and wellness counseling. So I actually wanted to kind of center this podcast around a lot of what I've been learning and things that I have learned personally in my journey with working with mental illness, in working with behavioral health, and also having my own experiences as well. So in Sigmund Freud's personality theory, the human psyche is divided into three distinct parts. The first part is the id, and the id is the more instinctual and impulsive part of the brain. The second part is the superego, or our moral center. And the third is our ego, or the mediator between the two, between the id and the superego. So theoretically, having a trip off of psychedelic substances could allow us to feel uninhibited by the stressors and things that compress our lives daily. The ego will shed and during an ego death, and parts of you that no longer serve you anymore will melt away. Or that's what my personal feelings on it are anyway, and how I've experienced ego deaths anyway. It's quite literally felt like I was shedding layers of myself that I literally just did not need anymore. And I was so grateful for each of those experiences. I remember, the first time I had an ego death was my first experience with LSD. My first experience with LSD was in college, of course, like most, a lot of us. And I was sitting in the grass with my friends, and I was feeling really conflicted about taking more or not. I was like, I feel like I'm gonna get anxiety if I take more. I feel like I'm gonna have a bad time. I was scared. I was anxious. I was stressed out. I was so concerned about having a good time. And I was so concerned because I had just been diagnosed with having major anxiety not too long before that when I was in high school. So I was scared that I was gonna, you know, be one of those people who freaks out and has a bad trip and is traumatized for life. I was scared. Rightfully so. But one of my friends who was with me, she looked at me, she's like, all that's going to happen is that you're going to have more fun. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can just have more fun. Like, that's what's going to happen. I'm just going to have more fun and that's it. So naturally, I decided to take a little more and I had the best time. It was such a wholesome day. We got Slurpees. We walked around in the park. We just hung out together. I remember eating cereal out of the cereal box and playing video games with my roommate until super late at night, and it was a really good time. But during my ego death part of it, I was like, this anxiety doesn't have to be my personality anymore. Like, anxiety is not my personality. I don't have to wear it like an outfit. Like, I can take it off whenever I want. And so in that moment, I decided to take off my anxiety and place it somewhere else for a while. You know, you can't be cured of mental diagnoses. There's no cure for those things, but you can subside them. I still do believe that ego deaths really do assist with aiding the symptoms of mental diagnoses, especially they have been scientifically proven with some hallucinogenic drugs. They have been proven when used in microdosing purposes to have alleviate the symptoms of depression and anxiety. So I am all for you know, using hallucinogenic substances if it's right for you. I do want to make a major big side note that it is not for everybody. Not everyone likes hallucinogens. I wouldn't recommend it to everybody. I would recommend it to those who have experience with them, because we do have a serious, scary problem going around right now with drugs, that they're all being cut and laced with different things, especially fentanyl. There is a huge fentanyl epidemic going on right now. I would say our fentanyl epidemic is just as concerning as any of the other epidemics that are going on right now, but that is just a personal opinion as well, and I won't get into other opinions like that ever again. But we should be concerned about the things we are ingesting and putting in our bodies. So I do want to make a side note of that, that I do think it is really important to be, like one of our other topics that we are discussing, self-aware about the things that you are taking and putting in your body and the way you're treating your body these days, because you really can't trust these things that you're buying to have a good time all the time anymore. However, I do want to note again that these methods that I have used previously for having, like, I didn't ever use them to have an ego death. I used them to have an experience. But these methods that I have used to have these experiences have been very positive for me, and I would definitely do your research if it's ever something you're curious about. Make sure you're doing it in a safe environment. Make sure you're doing it with people that love you and care about you. And make sure you're doing it in a space that is comfortable for you. So that is what I have to say about ego deaths and microdosing a little bit. I hope that I do get some feedback about experiences that people have had with microdosing or using hallucinogens at all, and ego deaths most importantly. And if you've ever had an ego death, please, please let me know, and I would love to hear about your experience. The second time I had an ego death was actually very recently, and it was probably the most self-aware I've ever felt in my life thus far at 28 years old. I did a lot of journaling, which I'm not even a big journaler. Like, I, for whatever reason, when it comes to pen to paper, that is just not my thing. I don't like to regularly journal. It feels like a chore to me. So whenever people are like, oh, why don't you get out your journal or do some journaling or do some free writing? I'm like, ugh, do I have to? Because I really, really don't want to. But lately, I have been really getting way more into it. I've been doing it more regularly anyway, aside from this experience I'm about to tell you all about. And it's been really healing for me. It's really increased my self-awareness each day that I write in my journal and am honest with these blank pages that will never judge me or have any response for anything I'm writing in them whatsoever. But it's really healing to be extremely honest with yourself about what's going on in your life and the reality of things and how they really look, and not just your opinion, you know, or just your feelings about things. Like, you can be very straight up when you're journaling, and it's really, really healing. But during my most recent experience with microdosing psilocybin, actually, I spent a lot of time journaling and spending time. Actually, it was one of the first times during a trip I felt like I spent most of the time by myself. And it was really healing for me to just be able to self-reflect. I'm in a really big period of self-reflection and growth and evolvement within myself, and really trying to spread my wings and grow into this different version of myself, start this next chapter, you know, all that good stuff. And it's been really, really healing for me to look back on these writings in my journal and be like, wow, that was probably the most honest thing I've said about myself or to myself in a really long time. So I highly recommend that as something you can do while microdosing to help increase self-awareness and things like that. I will start, after this short little ad, our next part of this podcast, which is going to be wholly about self-awareness. So thank you for being here, and stay tuned for the next portion of this episode. So I want to get into talking a little bit about self-awareness. Self-awareness has been a huge lesson for me to learn right now in my life, in my spiritual journey, in my professional journey, in my personal and romantic journey. It's just been huge for me. Gaining self-awareness specifically, and always working on having more self-awareness. I've been learning a lot about that. I just finished a class about working with multicultural communities in the counseling environment, and we had a big portion of the class about learning about our own implicit and explicit biases that we have towards people and how we can become more self-aware to unlearn those implicit and explicit biases that we have, and unlearn the things that place those biases there in the first place and really start anew. So with that, I want to get into self-awareness, the definition, how to become more self-aware, things that help me become more self-aware, and just talk about it a little bit. So self-awareness by definition is the conscious knowledge of one's character, feelings, motives, and desire. And I think that's really accurate because when you are self-aware, you're conscious, right? You're awake, you're alert, you're clear. You're clear about yourself, you're clear about your intentions, you're clear about, like it said, your motives, which I feel is synonymous with your intentions. You're clear about who you are and what you want out of life, and you're okay with that. Being self-aware doesn't mean you have to be okay with who you are, but being self-aware helps you become aware of who you are so that I believe that you can in turn grow to love who you are because that is who you are. And so there are different things to help become more self-aware. Some of these things that I'm going to list, I do, but this just is from research that I've compiled that all had similar things on their list of how to become more self-aware. Meditation is one of them. Meditation is something that is actually really hard for me to tap into. Meditation is something I always do 100% before tarot readings, but I don't do a lot of self-like meditation, like in the morning or at night. And I know I really need to do that more to really help ground myself and assist with my self-awareness. I feel it would be a great start, kind of like coffee or breakfast at the beginning of the day, or brushing your teeth at night. I feel that those things are necessary and important. And I believe that meditation does really help with grounding and connecting with yourself and getting clear in your mind as well about who you are, and clear in your head about your intentions for the day, and clear about your feelings on things at the beginning and the end of the day. And so that you can start the next day fresh, but also remembering, where you're at. Writing down your goals and your intentions and how you're going to achieve those goals is a great way to become more self-aware because, like, it's like the definition of self-awareness, it's becoming clear on one's motives and desires. So your goals and your dreams and your intentions are part of your feelings and your motives and your desire, correct? So when we become more self-aware, sorry, there's a truck driving by. So when you become more self-aware by writing these things down, you're becoming aware that you do have things you would like to work towards, and there are things that you want, and there are things that you believe you're deserving of. And how do we get there? We track our progress. So tracking your progress is a great part of becoming more self-aware as well, because you're keeping yourself accountable for your self-awareness, and you're also keeping yourself accountable for achieving your goals, and you're becoming more self-aware for how you're going to achieve those goals, So I love writing down goals. I have a planner always. I'm always writing in it. I need to be better about tracking my progress, I think, because that would help me become more consistent. And consistency is something else that I'm working on that's really big for me right now. Just being a more consistent person, being more consistent with myself, most importantly. Being consistent with myself is probably my hardest thing to accomplish right now, and I know it's something that's going to be huge for me to work on. So tracking my progress is huge. Making a dream board is also a really, really fun way that doesn't feel so much like work, you know, to work towards your self-awareness. But it's more of a fun way to make a mood board or like a dream board about these goals that you have. Like if there's a specific car that you want, or if you're getting married and you have like a certain idea of what your wedding should look like one day, or, you know, if you have an ideal partner, like what are the characteristics about this partner that are important to you? If you have career goals, like what are your career goals and how are you going to get there? So just like, and taking pictures and putting together pictures, colors that like motivate you to do things, phrases, affirmations, anything like that, that really helps keep you accountable for achieving these goals and tracking them as well. So another one that this is a little difficult for me, I'm gonna be very self-aware as we're discussing this and say that taking constructive criticism is really, really large for becoming self-aware, especially because how can you be self-aware based only on the opinions of yourself, right? Or not the opinions of yourself, but the feedback that people give you about things that you do or the things that you say or how you make them feel. How are you going to work on yourself? How are you going to grow? How are you going to evolve if you don't take constructive criticism, at least with somewhat a grain of salt, at the very, very least, you know? So it's really important to take constructive criticism, especially from people who care about you and love you, or even people maybe that work with you who you respect, or people who you respect in life. Maybe it would be a good idea to get a mentor if you wanted to become more self-aware. Someone who has things that you aspire to have as well, or someone who's professionally aligned with goals that you have, or personally aligned with goals that you have. Getting a mentor is really helpful for being able to take constructive criticism, because it's kind of almost like when you're in recovery and you have a sponsor, it's like someone who's holding you accountable to, like, you know, be completing your steps in the program, kind of idea is how I feel about it. A little bit different, but I do feel that it is similar. This is kind of synonymous and hand in hand with what we were just talking about, but asking for feedback from people. So even if you're not getting that constructive criticism, maybe reach out to other people and see if there's anything that there is that you can do that's different from what you're doing right now that would help you in achieving your goals and help you move forward in life and help you move towards the things that you want, and help you achieve those things, better. There's always a different way we can do things. There's always a smarter way to do something. There's always a faster way to do something. There's always a better way to do something. I don't know if I already said better, but there is. So asking for feedback about things can be really helpful to becoming more self-aware, especially if you're not getting, or if you don't feel like you're getting that constructive criticism that you want. If there's specific people that you want feedback from, or even people maybe you don't want feedback from, might honestly be the best people to ask in some cases for feedback about what you're doing, because they might have an opinion that you were not expecting. Because there's also like really something to only asking for feedback from people who are completely aligned with you entirely. And while being aligned with people like minds is really important, being also connected with people who have other opinions that are different than yours and values that are different than yours can help offer a different perspective that may be different, or like I said, better or more conducive to your goals that you're trying to achieve in becoming more self-aware. Another thing that I think I talked about already is journaling, which it has been really a difficult thing for me to get comfortable with doing more often than I was. I don't do it that often. Like, I'm like not even a once a month journaler, or, you know, every 2 weeks. I'm like once every couple months I'll write in a journal entry. I was making a joke to my friend the other day. I'm like, oh, my journal almost looks like traumatic event, traumatic event, traumatic event, traumatic event. Like, dear diary, I had another traumatic event today, because it's like once every 4 months and I'm only writing about things that are negative. So we should really try to administer journaling as a daily practice, because once you administer it as a daily practice, that is something that begins a routine, and having routines help you become more self-aware, because you are aware of the time you need to do things and when they need to be done by. And once you start doing them all the time, it's verbatim the same pretty much every time. And that's hand in hand with being consistent. And consistency helps achieve goals. So this is just my little part about self-awareness I wanted to talk about, and how I feel that being self-aware is really important. Self-awareness is something that I really do struggle with, because I, you know, don't want to blame my big three or anything, and that's not it. But I do believe that I have characteristics that I am slowly becoming aware of that don't make me be any certain way, but that inhibit me to become more stubborn and fail to see the error in my judgments, and fail to see where I can do better and where I can learn more. I feel that everyone can always, there's always something to learn, right? So that's one thing. That's one part of that. There's always something to learn, you know, and there's always more to learn, especially. So once you know that there's always something that you can be learning and that you don't know everything, that's also huge for becoming self-aware. We don't know everything. There's no way we can know everything about anything, you know? So I don't know what it is about that exactly that makes it so difficult for some people to have conversations with other people when they act like they know everything, and so they refuse to see an opposing side to their point of view. But it is something that collectively, as a collective, we all need to work on, is becoming more self-aware, having the hard conversations, swallowing the hard pills to swallow, because we can, and we will persevere. You will be okay, even if you do the things that are hard to do, to help be a better version of who you are. So that is it for my first episode of Biggest Little Pod with Darcy, your girl, like I already said. I really appreciate you all being here with me today for this first initial episode. I'm really excited for future episodes. I'm definitely probably going to be a little all over the place like I was with my last podcast, because there's just so many things I'm interested in. But this mainly will be about topics I feel are important to learn about, and that are important to what I am learning about right now, and as a collective that we can all learn about together. So I look forward to this journey with all of you. Thank you so much for listening again, and I hope you all have a beautiful and blessed day, my friends.